I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares.
The Raiders!
Caught! Touchdown! Raiders!
You're listening to the Autumn Windbags, an audio attack from the Silver and Black. Here are your windbags, RJ Clifford and Juan Soto. Yeah, it is another episode of the Autumn Windbags. RJ Clifford, Juan Soto, let's have some fun today.
I got caught slipping right there.
All right. Look at you, recovering just when the music bed's done.
Yeah, I come big in the clutch. What do you want?
Juan-like reflexes. That's what your cats say when they do something sweet. Juan-like reflexes.
Dude, my cats are freaking going at it the other day. They were fighting so bad. I don't know what the hell's going on. I think the younger one's getting a little bit beefy, and he's trying to bow up on the older one, and the older one's not having it.
It's time to be the alpha, trying to like
just not young happen, the old, dude.
Like just, in combat Apollo's sports.
Apollo's just a lot meaner. It's just not going to happen.
Mean beats big. Ask any dad talking to his sons about fights in the schoolyard. Crazy and mean beat big every time.
Yeah, and he's the calmer one too. And but whenever he wants the shenanigans to stop, they stop. For sure.
He's just like silently waiting for his time. It's like, just piss me off. Just give me one. One and done. So this first story isn't like even really news. I just loved this story. So this is from Max Crosby's The Rush podcast. The question was about Antonio Pierce. And this story came up. Take a listen.
It was a Friday. This is our last real practice before we play the Broncos. Last practice of the season, basically. So we're just going to do it's majority. It's like quick, bro. It's an hour, 10 minutes tops. So it's like, boom, you do a couple plays. Defense is out. Offense goes in. It's like you're final little shit. Yeah, it's smooth. It's fast Friday. So we go out there. We're just supposed to do one period with helmets, and we're going to like take helmets off and then just like walk through. And Jack Jones comes over. He's like, bro, y'all really trying to take Jack. It's funny as fuck. He comes over, huddles us. He's like, bro, y'all really trying to like just do walk through. He's like, fuck that. And he's like, I'm trying to practice. I'm like, bro, you're telling me? I was like, I don't give a fuck. I'll practice for 2 hours if we have to. Like, that shit is fun when we're out there. Yeah. So we're like, fuck that. We went up to AP. We're like, yo, let's just practice the rest. This is our last practice. So we just kept our helmets, did our shit, and ended it the right way. So this shit was dope, bro.
Such a sweet story. Jack Jones is like, yeah, you know, it's the very last practice before we take on the Broncos. Like, we're already out of the playoffs. What are we playing for? It's like, hey, you know, it's the Broncos. How are we going to get up for this game? He's like, dude, let's leave our helmets on and hit. Let's practice. What a sweet story.
Dude, it's like, what are we doing here? I like how he said it. He's like, yo, man, we really going to do this? We're really just going to walk through? That's what we're going to do? I used to love because we had this smaller guy on our team. I forget his name. Terrible. I know. I forgot his name. But he would always run out in the middle of the field, like after a playing call, roll call. That means the practice is over. Mm. Everyone just gets in their line. You know, they line up by name, and everyone used to get pumped up. You know, but they're like no, like we're gonna get pumped up because we're gonna practice longer.
Yeah. I mean, try throwing that shit at Max Crosby and have him not immediately be like, okay, like what? You're gonna threaten me with more work? I dare you. I double dare you.
This is what I do.
Say what again? Dude, we got Jack Jones for 2 more years at like $1 million a year.
So good.
He's just, oh, dude. Number one cornerback. Such a great locker room guy. Pushing that. Like, if he just keep his nose clean and just be like, because there's two sides of that coin, right? The crazy dude that's like, fuck that. We're going to keep practicing. We're going to like keep our helmets on. We're going to get crazy. Like, that's the positive side. And then there's a not positive side who like gets in trouble, right? Off the field. If you can just like keep that version of Jack Jones lined up and keep the screwy street part of Jack Jones figured out.
I think we're going to be all right, man. Cause like I've worked with a lot of people, and I've dealt with a lot of different personalities, and a personality like Jack Jones, a lot of times, he just needs somebody to like break it down for him straight face to face. Like if they don't feel something is just, They don't care what happened. They don't care what the repercussions are. They're going to fight back against it until you like break it down and help them realize like what's really happening.
And you got to keep him away from his boys from Long Beach. And you got to keep him with like the Max Crosbys. You got to surround him. You got to keep him busy and surround him by the right people.
I mean, look, I think the big trouble he got into was just a misunderstanding. It's like he had his handgun in his freaking bag and it was like clipped and loaded, which is stupid. Mm-hmm. And he didn't know he had to carry it. He had to carry the clip in a different thing than the bag. And it had to be in a special freaking case and this and that. So that was, yeah, that was all ironed out. I mean, cause do you think Patriots would like keep a rookie corner that took a gun on a plane? Like, no, they would cut him. They don't give a shit.
Well, that's the thing is like, I think
it was more of a misunderstanding than anything.
I think what got him cut from the Pats was something that wasn't out there. You know what I mean? Like, cause, yeah, like you look at like his actual, you know, it's stuff that like, look, we've seen what he's done. It's not public record, but he's got to go for that, right? So like that's what I mean by like well, yeah, like what he's been charged with.
No,
the papers found out.
I don't think it was anything on the street. I think it was a team thing. I think it was more something like that.
That's what I'm saying. It's like he's like what he got cut for wasn't a like a legal repercussion.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, this guy's not fitting, this guy's attitude, this guy's what, you know, something he broke curfew much to whatever, right?
If you come at him the way that I think we all think the Patriots come at, like a JMD style, mm-hmm, like not breaking it down, not taking the extra time, not identifying him as like an individual that needs to be maybe explained a different way, he's going to take that as like, this is not fair. I'm going to fight against it because, you know, I'm not going to back down type of thing. And yeah, I mean, I could totally see that happening. And they'll just be like, oh, we don't want to deal with this.
Well, it's the conformity and obedience that JMD demands. And then there's the be yourself, but the best version that Antonio Pierce demands. And those, yeah, are both two, you know, different approaches. Also, we have to talk about this outfit. That's a Louis Vuitton, like,
set
garb. You know what I mean? It looks like what you, if it was all set orange, you'd be like, oh, that guy's straight out of San Quentin.
Yeah, that's a Louis set right there.
You can't tell, but he's got the Louis Vuitton necklace. Did he get sponsored by Louis Vuitton and we didn't know about it? That would be sweet.
What if that was like a Fooey? What if that's like Chad Johnson, Chad Ochocinco? He's like, oh, all my shit's fake.
He was on the streets of Manila just on vacation, went down there to
Manila, nothing. He just dip on down to freaking TJ or something. He can get all that stuff done.
So sweet. Well, speaking of Max Crosby, also on the Rush podcast, Brian Baldinger, probably the biggest fan of Max Crosby.
Huge. And the freaking worst finger ever. You seen that thing?
Mutilated. Welcome to playing in the NFL.
That's what my finger looked like when it freaking broke, when I got dislocated. I was just like, ah, and it's like this. Ah, and it just pulled it and it brought back to the place. Oh, okay, cool.
I bet you it's like the vast majority of linemen that played in like the 60s, 70s, and 80s, that's how all their fingers are.
Have you seen Torrey, you know what I mean, freaking Holt's fingers? Mm-hmm. His fingers are like a Z. It goes like this and then back like it was. His fingers are awful.
Imagine
you ever like seen his fingers.
Like, try playing rock, paper, scissors with him. You're like
chainsaw, more like.
What's that? That's a space needle. It trumps all of them. So Baldy was on the Rush podcast, and he was talking about when he first like discovered Max Crosby. And I quote, I didn't feel like pulling the audio and finding it, so I'm just going to read it this time. It was the third or fourth game of his career, rookie year, right? 2019. They went to Indianapolis, and I'm watching the Raiders. I don't even think he started the game, talking about Max Crosby. He was just like a rotation player at that time, but in the game, he gets off the block, and he's chasing down the running back, and he just swats him from behind. It was pure effort, and he strips the ball. Excuse me. The ball is out, and they get the ball, a big play in the game. And I'm watching him, and he's like all arms and legs. I don't even know what a condor is, but that guy needs a name. So I just threw condor out there because I think it's kind of a predator, and I don't know. It just hit me. And I just said, I'm going to throw the condor out there. I didn't know if it would stick or not, but now it's obviously trademarked. So this is the play. And I don't know if this is going to get YouTube to like hit us or not or what. So we're going to do it like kind of weird.
No, that's coach's film. That's coach's film. You're good.
We should be okay.
Yeah, that's not broadcast film. That's coach's film. You're okay.
So this is the play. And I think he forgot why he called him a condor, because the celebration's condory, right? So for those of you on podcast, circle, line up at end. Quick screen out to the, and Max is running from the box. And catches him. Knocks the ball out.
Knocks it out, yeah.
Recovery. Is that Carl Joseph that recovered it? 42?
Yeah, I think that's Carl Joseph.
Dude, look at that. Knocks it out. Hustle play. Knack for the ball. And then he does the celebration where he just runs off like he's a jet. I think that's probably what made Baldy get inspired to call him the Condor, because he kind of came up with a giant wingspan when he was celebrating. That's my guess.
I mean, we've seen what Max has done to these guys from when he's trying to punch the ball out. Mm-hmm. He knocked out home, dude. He knocked him out from the Miami Dolphins.
Well, he that's how he broke his hand in the preseason. Was punching a ball out.
Punching a ball out. Yeah, he had an elbow or something like that, right?
In the beginning of this of his rookie year, he had a cast on for like three weeks because he was trying to punch a ball out. Like
I knew he was going to be a baller because that was that the no, that wasn't the that first season. Well, yeah, it was his the Hard Knock season, right? His rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
When they were covering him, and he's like, "Oh, I think I broke my hand." He's like, "I'll just wrap it up. I'll play the second half."
Yeah,
and it was like just a crude, like it looked like a big, huge baked potato on his hand. Yeah, I think I was like, "This guy's gonna be a player, dude."
Because he was like a fourth round rookie, and then he wasn't anything. So like, all right, have like the assistant PA trainer take care of this guy. Like, we're not gonna actually like use a good guy on him.
Yeah, let's put a couple pieces of memory foam and just tape it up.
Yeah, who's this white guy playing end? We don't need the real team doctor working on him.
Speaking of a white guy playing end, I was talking about, oh yeah, we should draft, you know, this guy, that guy. And one of my later picks is this guy from Iowa. Brandon Fisk is his name.
Mm-hmm.
Big, huge white dude. And I'm like, yeah, man, he'll be like, imagine that. He's like, we'll have all these like tough guys and like one white dude on the line. And then my guy at work is like, hey, Max Crosby's white. And I'm like, I said what I said.
Well, you see like the bit going on forever where it's like, I think it's the Bussin' with the Boys guys are like, you know, all black team versus all white team. And then like fighting over who gets Max.
Who gets Max?
It's like, it's an actual debate. Like, come on, guys. Like, give us Max, please.
He's the whitest white dude with like the blackest tattoos. The blackest black guy tattoos.
Dude, when you actually stop and like break it down, the white guys actually are like, it's pretty even until you get to corner. And then it's just like, it's like, you got to take like backup safeties and move them in the corner. Cause it's actually like position by position. You're like, oh, I can't believe the white guys like might not have a chance here until you go to DBs. And you're like, okay, we're so fucked.
Yeah. Once you get to the DBs, it's just not even fair.
Yeah. Damn. We almost had it. We almost had them, boys. So it's the season of mock drafts, right? We got, 4 weeks from the draft, 4.5. Something like that.
Four
and a half weeks away from the draft, right? So everyone's on like mock draft 3.0.
Five tomorrow or today when you're listening is five Thursdays,
right? So it's coming up. We'll do a live show for that that first round as we always do. And it'll be an interesting first round for the Raiders. Seems like everything's on the table. Staying put, I don't know where they'll go. When do the quarterbacks start flying off, right? For those of you out there hoping we're going to trade up to 1, 2, or 3 and get one of the top quarterbacks, these teams ain't budging. Like it would take 3 firsts and Max Crosby.
No, they're not. They're not doing it. Not even for that.
It would be even number 4. Like there's so many like mock drafts saying the Vikings are going to trade up to number 4, and even then it's like 2 firsts and a second to get JJ. It's not happening, right?
Look, so, I'll play some right now.
Yeah.
I love Max Crosby. I think he's probably the only current Raider that I would get a jersey for that's a current Raider.
High praise.
And teams would want a franchise quarterback more than they would want Max Crosby. And that's why you draft a guy in the first 1, 2, or 3, because you think he's going to be a franchise quarterback. That's how important quarterback is. So they're not going to take anything, including Max Crosby, for one of those top 3 picks. As those top 3 teams desperately need a quarterback, and I think they feel like I do, like those top 3 guys can be franchise quarterbacks.
Well, it all depends on the GM, right? Like, is it a GM, more kind of like you
never,
where it's like,
never, never, never.
Or is it more like me where it's like, look, there's a 50% chance
never
these guys aren't going to hit.
Nope.
Max is 1,000% nope. hit. And then we got nope. 3 first rounders for a shot.
Cause Max doesn't move the needle like a quarterback does.
Yeah, but there's a 50% bust rate.
Again, so it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. That's why we're different. I'm going with the math, and you're
No, you're not going with math. You're scared, is what you are. You're not doing it. In order to get a franchise quarterback, you have to acquire a franchise quarterback.
And with three new first round draft picks, you'll be able to have multiple shots at getting.
Who's to say those players are going to be as good as the ones you're going to get now?
With a 50% bust rate, you do the math and you play the value, and you're arguing against economics. Like, you're not going to win. You're not going to win against arguing against math.
The problem is, RJ, is you always slot these players like they're equal. They're not equal. The success rate of that 50-50 is a franchise changer for a decade. It's that important. That's why it's not just a 50-50 proposition.
We can't afford to get rid of rounds and rounds and rounds of draft picks, because if you miss, you got to be able to do it again.
It's a different argument. Different argument. Because in this argument, the one of those top three teams is not giving up anything.
Okay. You predict, of those three quarterbacks, Caleb, Drake, and Jaden, how many of them are going to be franchise quarterbacks?
I will say this. I will say that I think I think the biggest bust rate out of those three is going to be Jaden Daniels. From what I've seen, the biggest potential for bust is Jaden Daniels out of those three.
I'm going to say one of them will be a franchise, one of them will be a bust, and one of them will be had some productive years. You know, that's probably what's going to happen, right? So to wager an all-pro, one of the best at his position, and three first-rounders for those odds, it's tough, right? It's a rough one. But
even the best defensive end doesn't move the needle wins and losses wise than an above average, like capable quarterback that you trust. That's more valuable to wins and losses.
Correct. But you don't know what you're getting. You know, Max is 100% hit rate. You know, Max is amazing. And you're batting 500 with the quarterback and the three first rounders. That's my point. We know what Max is. Like, you're not missing with Max. Quarterback, you're probably gonna miss.
But if that's what you need, why would you get something that you don't get? Why would you not get what you need?
Because you can get a king's ransom for it, and you can try again next season, and next season, and next season. Because you now have double first round draft picks for the next three seasons, and so you've got literally six first round picks to be able to get another guy. Look,
I mean, then why scout? If it's just about numbers, then why even scout?
Because scouts want their job. And
why even scout? If you're a GM, why even care about scouts?
Because you can narrow the numbers down. 50-50,
you might as well just grab whoever. It doesn't matter.
Well, you narrow the numbers down, right? Like, if you're number one, you're like, which of those three do we want? Let's make the best decision.
Look,
right?
I'm not arguing draft strategy. I'm arguing team construction. And there is no way in hell that a defensive end, no matter how good they are, moves the needle as far as wins and losses go, then quarterback. So if you need a quarterback, you go get yourself a quarterback. Because even if you get that defensive end, it's not gonna move the needle for you.
Three first rounders moving forward.
Who's gonna say you're gonna be there? Exactly.
You're loaded up.
You're gonna be there as the GM?
Like I said, it depends on the GM, right? It's got to be somebody that moves. That's going to be like, all right, I either just got here, I got job security, or I'm in a position where
they're not going to
do that for a while, right?
No one's safe, not for long. NFL, not for long.
I'm telling you, this conversation's mute because those three guys aren't moving, right? Those three spots are staying. And so moving forward, like, where do the Raiders go, right? Because there was all these hopes and dreams we're going to move up and get somebody. Not going to happen.
Once the Bears traded Fields, for sure traded Fields, and then Washington traded away Howe, it's like, all right, dude, those two guys for sure are taking quarterbacks. And because of that, I think New England's going to be a little bit hesitant to trade out of their spot. Even if I wouldn't think they would trade any further back than maybe one or two spots anyway. So those three guys are taking quarterbacks.
I mean, the only curveball here is, if let's assume it goes Caleb, Drake, Jaden. And let's say for whatever reason, the Pats just don't believe in Jaden, which is possible. It's possible, right? It's possible some GM's just like, ah, I heard a story about him. You know, and again, it's like one and two for sure, because out of those three, you're going to assume they're going to like one or two of them. The only possibility here is if the Pats are just sour on Jaden for God knows why. Which isn't that crazy, right? He had one crazy good year. Maybe he's undersized. They heard a story about he knocked up some chick year, whatever, right? Like these wild rumors run around. That's like the only possibility. But even then, it's very, very, I don't see it happening, right? It's probably going to be the first four. I think the Cardinals are trading number four and someone's going to get JJ. That's, I'm 99% sure the first three are going to be quarterbacks. I'm 90% sure the first four are going to be quarterbacks.
Yeah, it hasn't happened ever, but I think it's going to happen this year just because of, I mean, look, Rory wanted me to go out there and put my nuts on the line for some stupid reason. I don't know why. But I've been saying this since last draft. I've said there's five or six quarterbacks as good or better than the best quarterback this year, which was last year, which who I said was CJ Stroud. Now, I'm not saying they're going to have the same rookie year that Stroud had, but as a college quarterback, as a prospect coming out, there's five or six next season, which is this year, that were just as good as the number one, which was last year's CJ Stroud. And I'm standing by that. And I can see there being top four because it's really fresh in their minds that CJ Stroud was able to do what he did with just a competent situation. And I mean, there's not really a lot of superstars offensively on that team other than Stroud, but they ran a good system. He ran the system well. He was able to kind of extend out of this out of the playbook when he needed to. The defense was capable. I mean, and they saw what happened when you don't do when you don't give him weapons. What happened with Bryce Young? Like he had nothing basically to play with over there in Carolina, and they were awful. So I think because Stroud did so well last year, and because there's such comparable prospects coming out to Stroud coming out, I think like four, maybe even like five out of the first seven, maybe probably around there, maybe.
Well, there's a lot of like. There's a lot of like, oh my God, this guy's ceiling, you know, like Bo Nix, Michael Penix, like they've got their faults, but like you look at the ceilings of these guys and you're like, dude, like the ceiling, even more so than that, you'll get ceiling.
Even more so than that, the floors on these guys are pretty damn high. If you look at, and a lot of stuff goes into it, right? Situation, you know, coaching situation, how stable is it? What kind of weapons? Like, look what happened to Bryce Young. What kind of weapons they have? I still don't think he's better as good as CJ Stroud, but they didn't do him any favors either.
Yeah.
But you look at them just talent-wise and what they can do, not just throwing, but like processing defenses, how they lead guys open, how they throw guys open, stuff, different things like that. All six of those top six guys can do that stuff. I was a little bit sour on JJ, but as the more I started to watch his tape, I had to keep telling myself, like, the absence of evidence isn't evidence of absence, you know? Mm. Just because he wasn't asked to do certain things doesn't mean he can't do them. He just wasn't asked to do them because there's certain plays where he scrambled around and was able to make plays on the run that were just as good as anybody else in this year's draft. So I stand by that, man. Five or six, just as good as Stroud coming out of college. Now, I'm not saying
that's a big U-turn for you because you were like JJ. Pff, he's not even a second rounder.
I watched this tape, bro. I'll send it to you. It's pretty good.
So with that backdrop, Raiders obviously need a quarterback. Where are we left? The latest one, Daniel Jeremiah of NFL.com. Michael Penix Jr. was number 13. He said the Raiders signed Gardner Minshew to compete against Aiden O'Connell. However, I don't think these two quarterbacks have the ceiling that Penix does in the NFL. Yeah, no duh. There's an assumption that Penix is more of a second rounder, but I believe his skill set is unique fit for the Raiders' style of play. Penix at 13. When we're sitting there on that Thursday, it'll probably be 6:42 p.m. West Coast time. And Roger Goodell says, with the 13th pick in the 2024 NFL draft, the Las Vegas Raiders select Michael Penix Jr., quarterback, Washington. What's your reaction?
It really does depend. It depends on what was taken. If there were four quarterbacks already taken, or five even, you got to take them. You have to. Mm. Because you can't – there's a long time. There's 31 picks between the 13 and 44. There's a lot of wiggle room in there. So you if you feel – okay, I'm there's a big if. If you feel this quarterback is someone who can lead your team and you can't comfortably trade back – and I would say probably the max trade back for me in this scenario, there's five quarterback or there's four quarterbacks taken. There's a little, let's say Bo Nix and Penix are the last two guys, right? Mm-hmm. I wouldn't trade back any further than the Cincinnati Bengals at 18. Because, you know, the Bengals may want to trade up and get one of those receivers, because who knows what's going to happen with Higgins. They can trade him, right? Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't go any further than that. Because then you start getting into like the Rams and like these guys, like, you know, like they might be, may pull a little funny business, right? Who knows? The Saints might pull some funny business too. Who knows? There's another team that's been talking about maybe taking a quarterback in the first mm-hmm. couple rounds. But yeah, it's just such a long wait. And like I keep saying, these guys are rated, like these guys are rated. Who the fuck am I? All right. I'm fucking nobody, right?
You're Juan fucking Soto. That's who you are.
I've watched a lot of tape the last couple of years about these guys, and I know what I want to see. I know what I'm looking for, and I see Penix a lot. I see him as a left-handed C.J. Stroud mm-hmm. in college, in their college tape. I see him a left-handed C.J. Stroud. That's my college-to-college comp for me is Penix and Stroud in college. And I don't want to risk it. Because the reward is worth the risk for me. If there's very few, because once you get past the first top six, the drop off is massive. The drop off is huge, and you know there's the Rattlers out there.
Yeah, the gap between Penix and Rattler is that big.
It's big. Yeah. It's big. Rattler, he doesn't throw guys open. Remember we talked about last preseason. When O'Connell threw this pass to Fotheringham and he was running a route, but there was a linebacker right behind him and he threw it a little bit to a little bit inside, and it Fotheringham had to like adjust his route a little bit. Well, he led him that way because to throw him open to make it an easier catch for him. Mm-hmm. Rattler doesn't do that. Rattler, you have to be open and he'll hit you, but he's not going to like throw you open like that. And he also doesn't read defenses really well. When the initial look doesn't match what they do post snap, he freezes a lot and he keys in on one guy, and it's different. Can it get fixed? Yes, because he has the physical tools. But like one of the things I was telling you earlier today, I want my guy to have consistent production throughout a bunch of years, right? Not just one big year. That was my big knock on Zach Wilson. He had one big year when he played a bunch of nobody teams during the freaking COVID year, and everyone thought he was the greatest thing since sliced bread. But he's played a lot of football. Rattler's played a ton of football, and he still has the same issues reading defenses. So you can't tell me that he wasn't coached up at Oklahoma and South Carolina. He was coached up. It's just something that's not clicking for him. So there's a big drop off between six and then the rest of the guys.
For me, you know how I am, right? This is where we differ in the draft, where it's like, you're like, go get your guy. I'm like, you play the board in real time and you play value. Mm-hmm. It's going to be tough, man. If those quarterbacks start flying off the board,
got to take it. The value's there. The value changes. Yeah. Like you said, the value changes
drastically, right? Like everything changes. If quarterbacks start flying off the board, it's like, you got round two grades on these guys. But on the flip side too, that means everyone else is getting desperate. Right? That means everyone else is getting desperate. So if you can trade down, and you can trade down like three spots and you're able to get that corner end tackle that we both really need, both like late first, early second, maybe you wait till like, you know, round three or four and you get Michael Pratt or something like that, right? It's just because like, but do you overshoot? Do you take a late second round quarterback at number 13? Because they're flying off the board. Like desperation buying is That's a tough one. That could be a killer.
So here's the difference here that I think that you and I are not connecting on this here. Taking a Michael Pratt later is not going to solve your quarterback issue now, because Michael Pratt isn't as good as either of the two guys you have right now. Mm-hmm. So you brought in a guy to compete with the guy that you already were comfortable with. Now you need to get a higher ceiling guy, or else you're just punting on the quarterback position for this year. So no guy that you get on after the big six are going to unseat the two guys you already have. Mm-hmm. It's just not going to happen. Yeah. I haven't seen it. It's going to have to take, like Milton, because with all his physical tools, he's going to need to like go full on Matrix and get plugged in and just learn how to freaking read defenses. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what's going to have to happen. For the guys, because everyone, no one's a perfect prospect, right? I said it in my breakdowns. Hey, I did five good plays and five really bad ones. No one's a perfect prospect, okay? But how can you mask that issue? When does that issue come up? Is it just like on a regular old like second and six? You're just not paying attention and just throw a stupid like, because you're either lazy or you rely on your physical tools too much or something. But it happens all the time. It happens consistently. That drop off is huge. So you picking up a Michael Pratt is not going to do anything for you. It's not going to do anything for us. We're just going to have another mid level quarterback.
I mean, he's not going to do anything on this season as you develop him. But my point is, like,
his physical tools aren't there. You have to have the physical tools. Everyone says, "Oh, you got to have a neck and you have a neck up position, this and that." Yeah, but you have to have the physical tools.
Penix is also a project. Right? Like Nix is also like all these guys, like they're more like, because the quarterback is being so valued, like, and that's the point, right? Is like, if you're playing the stock market, you're like, what's being undervalued, what's being overvalued. If guys are treating second round guys as mid first rounders, that's our opportunity to bank on them overshooting that position, overshooting that prospect. Like, again, like desperation buying is just a hard place to be, man. It just seems like,
I don't know, taking either one of these quarterbacks at 13, if there's only one or two left, I don't see that being desperate. I just see that as like the board is falling the way it is. Mm-hmm. And you think of probabilities, like, look, the drop off is that drastic between these two next guys and the rest of the guys. These rest of the guys, it's just going to be a wasted pick. Like, why am I going to pick that guy? I can get another guy that we rated just as good to come out the last year, the year before. That's still a free agent wandering out there. We can just bring that guy in. Or these guys aren't rated as high as the guys we already have in the room.
What if Penix is off the board by the time it comes to us? We're just not drafting a quarterback?
No, I don't have a problem getting Bo Nix either.
What if Bo and Penix are both off the board by the time we get to 13?
Okay, so who's left out of that? Jaden Daniels and JJ?
No, I'm saying all the top six, right?
All top six are gone.
Yeah, guys are trading up. Guys are like you. They're like, holy shit, if we don't make a move, we're not going to get one of these top six guys this draft. People are making moves. People are trading up. All six guys are gone.
What would I do?
Yeah, what do we do?
I would look at the big five positions, right? So quarterback, receiver, left tackle or tackle, defensive end, and corner. And I would say, okay, who's the best player out of that? If I can't trade back, who is the best player out of those top five positions?
The answer for us is easy, and we already talked about this. Like, if guys are trading up that much and there's six quarterbacks off the board, then that means one of the two best corners or one of the two best tackles is still on the board. Because everyone went quarterback, right? And those are the two
I'll take either one of those
positions in need, right? Yeah, give us one or two a corner, one or two. Like, that's what we're saying is, like, what if this PFF mock draft, there was just a run on tackles? That's just how it worked out. It's like, great, we'll go with the number two corner. There's a run on corners, we'll go with the number two tackle, right? Like, we got those options. But that's my point is, though, it's like, let's say, like, only Penix is left at, like, 10. Do we trade up to 11 to make sure we get him? I'm just trying to get into your head of, like, how desperate do we get for a top six quarterback this draft? Like, if there's only one of them left at 13, you're saying we reach. If five of them are gone by 10, do we trade up to 11? I'm just trying to figure out where you stand on how desperate we are for one of those top six.
You see, I don't like using the word desperate, because you're using a live thing, which is the draft. It's molding and changing in front of you. So is it desperation, or are you just making the smart move because you have this
whatever term you want to use? How much are you willing?
The connotation is different, but like, yeah, I get it. Like, it all depends on how. For me, I would trade up three spots to get Penix. Yeah, if I had to. Yeah, I think not just physically tools wise, but how you can run your offense is a lot higher. The ceiling is a lot higher. The playbook has opened up a lot more for a player like him than the player like Minshew or Farva. And it's not that I don't like Minshew, and it's not that I don't like Farva. It's just Penix has better tools, and he's shown to have a higher ceiling. And if you have him rated as high as that, which I do, then go ahead and get him. Would I be upset if we don't get any of these guys? Because let's say, for example, there's a couple quarterbacks only left at 13, and we decide to go somewhere else because a top corner fell to us, it might sound crazy, but even like a Malik Nabers falls to 13 because everyone's taking other positions. Like, dude, this is like 1-1A receiver. Like, that's one of the big five positions in the draft. In NFL, that's one of the big five positions. Even though you may not need him per se, you mean Devontae, you're not going to have him forever. He's getting a little bit more expensive.
I get what you're saying. And that's music to my ears, is like, you stay fluid in here. Because it was sounding like, look, you get one of these top six no matter what. But then you're like, well, if everyone's going quarterback, then something else is left, right? If everyone's drafting one position, then
if there's one of those top guys, I'm fine either way. As long as we're getting a good top player, because I feel like we can still win a lot of games with Minshew or with Farva. I feel we can. Do I feel we can win a Super Bowl? No. I don't think either one of those guys are Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. And I don't know that anyone in their right mind would argue with me when it comes to that.
Yeah.
But like you said, if we have to punt on the quarterback position and strengthen the rest of this roster and try again next year, okay, then we'll figure that out when we get there.
And my big thing is like, look, it's not us punting, it's what happened, right? It's like forcing a quarterback that isn't the right fit or in the right, or it's like being overvalued isn't like, well, we got a quarterback, so we're good. It's like, no, you've paid $100 for a $20 meal. That doesn't, right now, if it pans out, great. Like, well, that's what we're all hoping. But it's still how it plays out, value the other positions. Keep an open mind. Keep it in real time is what I'm saying.
If you pay $100 for a $20 meal, but that meal keeps you fuller longer and you don't know when you're going to eat next, yeah, you do that. Because I understand like the full rank. When they say he's a second round prospect, it doesn't mean he's a second round prospect quarterback. It means in the grand scheme of things, there are other players that are better at their position than he is at quarterback. But quarterback is more important.
So quarterback's more important, and you're the first one to say this, the further away you get as like the number one quarterback, number three, number five, the less of a chance they're going to be that franchise quarterback, right? So it's like when you get, what are the odds Michael Penix is going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback? Going to be a 10-year franchise quarterback, winning quarterback for us. 3% less. I mean, that's what we're talking about. And I get you. Like the position is so valuable. We are always doing that. We are always looking for a quarterback because you keep saying it's like, well, it's so important. Like, no, we are not arguing at all the importance of a quarterback. Like we said before, if we know Michael Penix is a Pro Bowl quarterback, fucking take the whole draft, take the next five first
round. It'll be worth it. Because
if we know for sure he is Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, whatever, take five first round picks, because you're right that it is that valuable, but the hit rate isn't good. So you're weighing the position and the odds that they're going to be what we want them to be. And that's where things start getting murky for me. When you get to five and six, it's all right. Like, we need a quarterback. Quarterbacks are super valuable. Can't win without it being great. Is it a less than 30% chance that Penix is going to be a Pro Bowler for us at quarterback? kind of feels that way.
Who knows?
It's all those weighing all those things.
And like the verbiage I've used when talking about like finding, you know, I know you hate this, but finding your guy, right? Mm-hmm. Is you scouted who you have. You scouted the free agents. You scouted last year's quarterbacks, this year's quarterbacks, and next year's quarterbacks. So you scouted all these guys who are going to be here next year. So if you don't think any of the guys next year are going to be as good as the guys this year, then you do it this year. Like, mm-hmm. why? Like, you don't think those guys are as good. And that's why I don't think taking a Michael Pratt later in the draft is a smart move, because I don't personally don't think that he's as good as the guys we already have. Mm-hmm. So why would you do that? Like, you're just getting another backup. You know, you don't think he's as good. So it's like, I mean, I would much rather be the Steelers than the Giants. Mm-hmm. Because the Steelers identified that freaking Pickett wasn't that dude, and they freaking got another quarterback, and then they got, when he started to bitch, they got rid of him. Mm-hmm. The Giants are still trying to make Daniel Jones something that he's not. Mm-hmm. And
well, that's why you can use like a fourth rounder on a quarterback, and you know, because it's so low, you're like, all right, it's less than a 10% chance he's going to be our starter, but the value is so low, you can work on it, right? And at fourth, you're fine if he's a backup. You know what I mean? Like, you know,
but you already have a backup. Right? You already have a backup.
Yeah, but you're playing, but you're putting money not on black on the roulette table. You're putting money on red 23. You know what I mean? Like, you're paying so little, but the payoff could be so big with such a little payoff. Like, that's how it is to me. It's just all odds. It's just all odds and value. You do your scouting and you make your, you're trying to narrow those odds as best as possible, right? But at the end of the day, nobody knows. That is a fact. No GM, no scout has the secret formula, has the magic sauce, has a magic key.
The only way we don't take one of the top six is if we take a physical freak like a Milton late, like in the fifth round or something like that. Because it's like, now that's worth it, because you know he's not going to start. You have two guys ahead of him that are fully capable of taking every single snap the entire season.
I feel like that was the Minshew pickup, because it was kind of early. Like, the Russell Wilson thing was still floating around. Justin Fields was still floating around. It was a semi-early. And so I think they went like, we want to get a rookie to be our future. Which, if you don't have a franchise quarterback, that should always be your goal every draft. But they hedge their bets. They're like, okay, if it doesn't happen, Gardner and Farva are going to have a quarterback battle. And
we're cool with either one. We can either one.
Right? Like, either Minshew, like, just jives perfectly with his team and offense and the weapons, and we get the best version of him. Or Farva, like, gets all that stink of Josh McDaniels off from next season. He's so much better than we thought, but he was just held back by Shitbird last year. Like, that's what we're hoping for, right? I think that was that was Telesco's thinking, is we're obviously looking for a franchise quarterback, but if we don't, we're not going to get crazy. We're not going to be desperate. We're not going to trade up for just one of the top six for the sake of having one. It feels like,
depending on who you believe, we were in talks for Fields. Just the freaking Bears they played themselves.
Dude, a sixth rounder for Fields?
That's what the NFL thinks about Justin Fields.
And
your ass wanted to give him a second and freaking pick up his fifth year.
I didn't say give him a second. I said I said second would be high end worth it, but you wait and see.
And he went for a sixth.
Oh yeah. You roll that dice.
Bro, that's what the league thinks about Justin Fields. They saw what I saw.
That's this how bad the Bears
run a freaking quarterback off.
They waited too long. They waited too long. That was the problem. Like, because, you know, all these other teams got their quarterback, right? Kirk Cousins got moved. Baker stayed put. We got Minshew. Like, all these dudes.
Darnold got signed. Freaking all the Steelers. Bums got signed.
Steelers, you know, like, that's the thing, is like, they went to just like.
Mariota got work. Like, dude, and they freaking, no one wanted Fields, dude. No one wanted them.
They waited too long. Bears fumbled that.
Yeah, dude, that's so fucking dumb, dude. They should have gotten. They should have been like, "Look, we want a second." Or they were talking about a first at first, and I was like, "You guys are smoking that heavy crack. What is going on?" And then they said they were stuck on a second for a long time, and they ended up getting a. I mean, the best they can get is a fourth. The best they can get is a fourth. If they would have said a third right away, they would have gotten that third.
Yeah, they're screwed up.
They played themselves.
And also, I never, like, the Steelers are a well-run organization. Like, as much as it hates me to say it, like, they run a tight ship. Like, they're a well-run franchise. And if they're like, all right, let's spend a six on Justin Fields, that says to me, it's like, okay, there's something worth giving a stab at here with Fields. Whoever our quarterback is, they're going to love throwing Davante Adams. Davante Adams coming to a screen near you on Netflix. The show Quarterback that was so popular that Peyton Manning ran, they're going to do one called Receiver. And Davante Adams is going to be one of them. Remember, it was Patrick Mahomes, Kirk Cousins, Marcus Mariota playing the quarterback season. And now it's going to be Receiver. It's going to be Justin Jefferson, Debo Samuel, George Kittle, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and our boy, Davante Adams. I'm stoked. I'm super stoked on this because we get to see behind the scenes what's going on with the Raiders. Just every time we get to see, like, just what's going on back there when they allow cameras. And it's not quite Hard Knocks because they're more in bed than HBO is, because it's like NFL Films is part of it. And I think Hard Knocks has gotten soft over the last 10 years or so. It used to be like really, like, you could tell coaches and teams didn't want some of this stuff out, but it still got out there. Now it's kind of like, okay, this is all pretty manicured. So I feel like this would be pretty manicured, even more so manicured than Hard Knocks, but it's still something. It's still, we'll still get something cool out of it. My big thing is, like, Devontae is one of the least interesting star receivers out there, like, personality wise. Like, he's not going to be partying late or like talking shit to people. He's like, and that's why we love him, because he's straight laced, hard worker, never a locker room issue, right? Like, so opposite of like a star receiver. Like, I feel like he's going to get almost no screen time because you've got like Justin Jefferson and St. Brown, like, doing crazy shit.
I think he's going to play the Kirk Cousins role, where he's like the more established guy. He's the veteran
family man,
but he is that shit talker. We saw him when he was playing basketball, when he was playing basketball in the locker room, I think it was Amir Abdullah. And, no, he's a shit talker. So, I mean, from what you hear, whatever you want to believe, I think Tyreek Hill was supposed to be one of the guys, but he keeps beating his wife and beating his kids. So they're like, we can't play any of that.
And making more of both.
Yeah, so it's like, let's just put Debo in there instead. Because Reek's going to reek, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I want to see Davante Adams, like, what his, like, routine is. I bet you he's the, like, alarms at 5. He brushes his teeth at exactly 5:12. He's in the car at exactly 6:13. You know what I mean? But he's like one of those just like soldiers, just like robots. It's like, this is what I'm doing.
That reminded me of a story. So Jerry Rice was on Oprah Winfrey, and it was the show was all pro football players and their wives. So they start asking the wives stuff about the husbands. And before every game, or before games, and especially big games, Jerry Rice said that he would vacuum. Like, that was his thing, like, kind of vacuuming to calm himself down, you know, like he's a newborn baby, like, crying. Like, you could run the vacuum and calm him down. And the wife's like, yeah, like, he wouldn't leave the house unless the lines were perfect. Like, the lines had to be perfect. And Jerry Rice is like, all right. Quit telling all my secrets.
That sounds like Devontae.
Yeah, for sure.
That sounds like Devontae to me. Like, that's the kind of quirky shit I want to find out about him. Because normally, like, just give me the TMZ drama. Like, give me some cool stuff. But I don't think that exists with Devontae. Just confirm to me what a great guy he is so we can just keep being at. I'm happy with him not being interesting. Like, there's enough personalities on the Raiders. Like, just give me a stable family man,
hard worker. His
job, leads by example. You know what I mean? Like, all of his shoes are lined up perfectly at exactly 90-degree angles in his closet, you know? Watch, after I said all this, we're going to find out he's doing, like, sex dungeons and shit. But that's kind of how I see things going. John Gruden is coaching again in a very weird way. He's serving as consultant for the Milano Seamen of the European League of Football.
The Milano what?
The Milano Seamen of the European League of Football.
It's an unfortunate name.
Seamen.
What's their logo look like? They're like a
spot. Well, and then you got Milano Seamen. Those are two, like, very, Very potentially problematic names.
I don't think I can ever eat a Pepperidge Farm cookie again. I'll tell you that right now.
Dude, what a weird landing spot for him.
Not really.
It is.
No, because look, his stink is still out there right now in the States. If he wanted to get back into football, it's going to be something like this.
100% there is a college program that would take him as like a special.
They would have already done it.
100% They would have already done it. I think he wants an easier exit strategy. I think he wants to be like, look, let me just do some European league, something completely wild and different. And then let me do that. As opposed to like, maybe it's like demeaning in his mind to do college.
I don't think Gruden
doesn't want to deal with kids or NIL, you know?
I think Gruden's next, his path again is in broadcasting. It's going to be in a few years, but I don't think it's going to be coaching. It's too many different people, too many different attitudes, too many people on the team to have to forgive and forget. I just don't think it's going to happen, man.
There was a great line from, I'm rewatching Boardwalk Empire, and there's a great, if you guys haven't seen it, HBO, awesome show. Cause HBO gets like, you know, Game of Thrones, Sopranos, The Wire, like those are better shows, but then Boardwalk Empire just gets completely buried. It's almost as good as those shows. And if you're as good as Sopranos, that's a great show. If you're 80% Sopranos, that's an amazing show you have to watch. So Boardwalk Empire doesn't get enough credit. Rewatching it. There's a great line by a lawyer, and he's like, he's talking to the guy who, paid off the White Sox to throw the World Series. And he's talking to the gambler that did that, and he's under indictment, and he's getting investigated. And he's like, what's going on, blah, blah, blah. He's like, what are you doing? You need to do something right now. He's like, it's much better. Like, instead of wiping away new shit, let it dry, and then just brush it off. That was a great line. Like, instead of, like the shit is going to start drying with John Gruden, more so, especially with this lawsuit, when all that dirt from that ESPN article about how it was like, you know, Roc Nation was hired just so there's like, you know, black guys there to give them rep, and how it was all just like all parties involved.
It's there were all
like
contrived. Girls. Not,
yeah. There, it was all contrived, all BS. It was all just like, how do I get in good deals, good graces? Like, once all that comes back to sunlight, and much more so, with Discovery and everything with this lawsuit, and they find out, like, wow, all the, like, John Gruden got targeted and what he did was awful, but there's 100 other people that did the exact same thing, that stinks going to be off Gruden specifically. And it's going to be a lot, you know, he's going to be back, and it's not, he's not going to be that scarlet letter that he was 2 years ago. I think even now he's not even like that bad in most people's eyes.
No, I think that people don't think about it and talk about it because he's not in the news. But once you talk about him, the first thing they're going to say is why he's not a coach right now. So it's kind of like that thing where it's like, if two kids get caught doing something and one gets blamed for it, but then later you find out that the other one was the actual one that did it, that guy gets in more trouble than he would have gotten in if he would just admit it the first time. That's like the NFL on Gruden. Like, Gruden gets popped initially, but then you see like all the stuff the NFL did, just because after the fact they try to play the good guy role, and then after the fact you see exactly what's been going on. That's going to be rough for the NFL, man.
Yeah. We have a new running back.
You do.
Alexander Mattinson is signing with the Raiders. Sources tell Breach Report. Still just 25 years old. Mattinson had 17 touchdowns in 5 seasons with the Vikings. This is about 2 days old, day and a half old. We still don't know contract terms, which is obviously a part of it. But I think he's going to compliment Zeus really well. Love this signing. I think he was underutilized with the Vikings with his like little diverse skill set. And I think it's a nice, like, kind of like he's like a zone-ish guy. You have Zeus be the power guy. That's in the passing game a little bit, change of pace. You don't want to put like the entire game on Zeus's shoulders. Because remember, no one's replacing Josh Jacobs. No one's gonna get like 90% of the carries like with JJ. Like, that's not what the Raiders, hopefully this is not what the Raiders are thinking, right? I love this signing. It'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, even though like Madison's said to be like the zone guy, he did run better in power running schemes this last season. And I mean, it makes sense in that respect because you got two power runners. One guy, you spell one guy for the other. He's a little bit Zeus. He's a little bit Abdullah. He's kind of in that in between. And, you know, he does everything better than serviceable. He's better than an average guy doing what he does. And, you know, it's one of those do everything type of backs. It's valuable. He's valuable.
I think we'll end up drafting a running back late too. And I think that's a really good running back.
There's a lot of running backs. Wow.
I think we'll go like fifth or sixth round running back. And you got Dula, Zeus, Madison, and then like another, and then like a rookie. Like that's a good, because you know, one or two of them are going to go down for, you know, a few games.
Junior.
A few of them are going to be, you know, someone's going to end up on IR, right? So you need like, you can't be overly specialized because guys are going to go down. I feel like Mattinson's like he could play any type of running back you need if he had to, but he'll have a specific role when everyone's healthy. I think he has the room great.
Yeah, I think it's a good signing. I think there's certain plays that Zeus can't run that are like made for Amir Abdullah. Mm-hmm. Like he just physically he doesn't have the skill set to be able to do that. But Madison can run all of Zeus's plays. And he can run all of Amir's plays. Mm-hmm. So he's that guy. When he's in there, you have the full complement of your playbook. Mm-hmm. But as far as a rookie goes, I like that Frank Gore Jr. kid, man. Southern Miss, I like him a lot. He went to the Senior Bowl and ripped it up. Hopefully no one else sees him when we get him in the fifth or sixth round.
Well, he has such an innocuous name. You know what I mean? No one's going to end
up. He's not as big as his dad.
No one's going to be talking about – no, but like when
he's
you're –
good. I think it's good.
When your dad played running back at the NFL, how long did Frank Gore play in the NFL?
20 years or something, dude. He made a long time, dude. Number, like 16 right? years or something like that. Something crazy.
Didn't Frank Gore have like the third worst Wunderlich score in like the history of the draft?
I think he was half asleep when he took it, honestly.
I think he had the third worst ever score of the Wunderlich. And he's like, whatever, I'm gonna play 20 years in the NFL. Who cares?
Counting these rocks, bitch.
What? I can count my seasons. I can count my stacks. Count
millions.
Right? Like, and he played when running backs got paid. He's like, all right.
Yeah.
Count this, bitch.
He was just, I used to get him in a fantasy, and I knew he was going to get 10, 12 touchdowns a year. Just because I knew it. He was just a red zone beast.
Steady Eddie. Ready to do some more win backs?
Yes, I am.
It's because I asked so nicely. Greg Atkins, 44-17. Antonio Pierce won a Super Bowl with Eli Manning. Nothing special kind of quarterback. AP knows what guys can and have to do at quarterback. I hate the Eli Manning Super Bowl example. Like, those were world-class defenses, and Eli played lights out at just the right times.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. You look at his entire body of work. He is a different quarterback in the playoffs. He is an absolute different quarterback. I don't know what it is. I don't know whether he just wakes up. Like, he's like a hibernating bear, and he wakes up in, like, February to, like, go out there and start kicking ass. But he balls out in the playoffs. He's a different quarterback. He's, like, the opposite of Clayton Kershaw.
He's literally a 500 quarterback. He's exactly a 500 record, and he had some of the best defenses. And he had some of the best defenses of his generation on his team. And still, he was like, he only won half his games. Like Eli, and that's what I'm worried about. I keep having this like this feeling in my chest that AP's like, run game and defense, whatever. We don't need a flashy quarterback. Run game and defense, we'll be fine. It's like.
That's the way the game's run now, man. That's the way the game is run now. You need to have that quarter. You need to have a quarterback that's going to be able to orchestrate a touchdown, not a field goal, a touchdown drive late in the bad weather, like with a great defense against you.
Don't know if he can help himself. He's a defensive coach, and he's just like, I just wonder if he just can't help himself. And that's how he's just going to look at it. He's like, Farva's going to get us. Give us 24 points, Farva. Defense and special teams will be.
It would be so sweet if like one of those like game wrecking ends is still available at 13. Mm-hmm. We're just like, Dallas is still available. Let's take them. Oh my god, that odd defensive line would be so freaking crazy if we did that.
Just go, just like no quarterback, but just like five Pro Bowlers on the
just
line.
Freaking like the whole defensive front, the whole defensive front are just freaking all pros.
AP is just rock hard all season. Like we're just winning every game, like 7-3.
He's you run
just,
that 46 defense, the 46 defense with the six down lineman.
Dude, we're joking. That might be crossing his mind, dude. That might actually be like in the back of his mind. You're like, oh, we're gonna get more safeties than they get field goals. Watch, we're gonna do this.
Jesus.
Toya Sparkman? A Sparkman, 97-27. The threat of Minshew running is going to open up the offense. We will average 28 plus points this season.
That's a bold statement.
Gardner Minshew had like 100 yards rushing last season. Like, I don't know where we got this, like, Gardner Minshew's this like crazy threat. He's better than Farva running. Like, we've had Derek Carr for 9 seasons and then Jimmy Garoppolo and Farva. So I guess compared to those guys, he's Michael Vick. But compared to like actual running quarterbacks, he is not. Like, we got this mindset that like he's this like dual threat quarterback. Like he isn't. He really isn't.
I think more so he's a scrambler to throw still. He doesn't scramble to run, but he scrambles to buy himself more time. He is a lot more elusive.
He's like a poor man's kind of like Russell Wilson, like a very poor man's like that's like he'll buy you some time to throw and he can run, but he played 13 games, he had like 100 yards. Like
mobility wise, I would say he's more of like a Justin Herbert type, where he's mobile and he can run, but he doesn't really take off and run that much. He moves around to throw the ball. He keeps his eyes downfield. Because even Russell, especially early in his career, ran for a lot.
Just like quickly like looking at his rushing, 0 yards rushing against the Steelers, 31 yards rushing against the Falcons, 3 yards rushing against us, 9 yards rushing against Houston. Like, not really, like, not a dual threat run. He's a below average runner as a quarterback. Like, he can, you know, if it's wide open, he'll get your 7 yards and get that first down. But it just kind of like got me. Like, I see this narrative, not to pick on Tonya Sparkman specifically, but I've seen this a bunch of times. Like, I wanted to bring it up. I'm like, we're not going to be doing like RPOs, guys.
No,
like,
no.
We're not
I don't think anyone thinks that.
Like, we're not doing anything like that.
I don't think anyone thinks that. No.
Raiders guru, I've been saying for months Aiden O'Connell will be the starter game one. Now you see why GM will not be,
Gardner Minshew
will not beat out Farva. No rookie we can get can take his job. I love how much Raider Nation loves Farva. I love that love because the man deserves it for what he's been asked to do with how little he's been handed. But don't let your love of Farva conflate with how good he is. You know what I mean? It's like, I love that my daughter, who's 4, can now color between the lines. Picasso, she is not. You know what I mean? Like, it's... Please take
a little help with the oil colors, with the oil-based.
Yeah.
Her frescoes, her water-based colors. Look.
This offseason's a failure if Farva's starting week one.
Not necessarily, because no. Because if he's starting week 10, not due to injury, then probably that means you got a rookie quarterback that's not ready to go by the
middle. That's what I'm saying. Week one, it's a failure.
Because what if we get a quarterback that's just look? No matter how good the quarterback is, you have to understand something. Other than JJ McCarthy, the rest of these five of the big six quarterbacks, they don't take snaps from under center. Okay, so it's something different they have to get used to. And you don't put – I don't care how good the quarterback is, how good the skills are. If the quarterback does not understand protection, they don't understand blitzes, you can't put him on the field if he can't protect himself. So if we – let's say like we were talking about. Let's say we get Penix and he's just not quite there yet with understanding his protection, understanding the blitzes yet. But skill-wise, he's good. We still can't put him in there if he can't protect himself, if he can't change a freaking blocking scheme, if he can't identify blitzes, we can't put him out there yet. So just because he's not starting week one doesn't mean it's a failure, because we could still have our guy. He just isn't quite there yet.
I don't know, man. I think the love of Favre has gotten out of hand.
No, I agree with the love of Favre's gotten. I don't know if it's gotten out of hand. I think that he's the best that we, because his play was so much better than anyone else that we had last year. Mm-hmm. That wasn't a very high bar, people. Let's just be honest, okay? It wasn't a very high bar. Garoppolo played like dog shit, and Hoyer played like 3-day-old stepped on dog shit. All right. So Favre had his stinkers too. I like him a lot. I think that he's going to have to make a like nuclear level jump from last year to this year for me to say, don't need to look at another quarterback. You know, that's going to be a huge jump. Huge.
He is what we fear AP is looking for. Don't turn it over. Don't do anything crazy. We'll run the ball. We'll win. 17-7 every game. We got this.
It just aches my heart, dude, that we're going to it's just been so long that we're just I don't want to get into it. I don't want to get into it because it's just going to cause another argument. But you're not going to win anything like that. We went over it before. The quarterbacks that make it to the playoffs, the quarterbacks that win playoff games, these are all top guys. They're not like, you know. They're not just freaking guys that like just slap, you know, every once in a generation you get your.
Remember that fourth rounder we picked up that happened to work out a little better than we thought? Yeah. We don't need to look anymore. We'll be our
first. How many playoff games has Dak won? Like in all those great teams that the 13, 12 win teams that they've had. How many freaking playoff games has Dak won in a fourth round quarterback?
Well, that's it for us. More draft coverage, more free agency stuff. The Raiders still aren't done in free agency, but everything's kind of calmed down a little bit. Something pops up. We'll make that move.
I'm smelling a couple of DBs, man. There's a couple of guys out there that are pretty good. DB. Oh, yeah. Dazil Xavier Howard, Tre'Davious White. Tre'Davious White's coming off a couple of injured seasons. He's a good candidate for a cheap, maybe a team-friendly deal with like maybe a little backloaded if he stays healthy, maybe incentive laden.
If we wrangle up an above-average starting tackle or an above-average starting corner, that opens up our draft a lot. Where it's like, all right, we just need one of those, and then now it's just best player available.
Yeah,
best stack of chips. Like, really frees us up. Like this roster out of nowhere got very well rounded. Got very like, there's no gaping holes except for the most important position in football. Other than you know that one, there's really no big holes except for the biggest hole in sports. No franchise quarterback.
But the thing is, man, at least we know, you know?
Yeah.
At least we know. And when you know, you can address it and you can make plans to address it. You don't just like sit around and you're like the freaking Giants. Well, you know, we need to see a little bit more from Daniel Jones in year six that he hasn't shown us already. It's like, come on, guys. Give me a break.
I know. You know. Pretty sure Telesco knows. Does Antonio Pierce know? We'll find out in almost exactly 5 weeks.
I think they've had that conversation. I think Telesco's like, listen, bro, I understand what you're saying, and I appreciate it, but nah.
How would that conversation with Telesco and AP go? Like, Telesco's like really trying to get it through AP's. Like, AP's like so stoked in the defense. Like, he watches Favre like not throw a pick in practice for like three straight days. He's like, yeah, we got the formula. We're right here. We got the formula. And Telesco's like, have a seat, buddy. Like, because it's this like goofy white guy and then like the coolest black dude. And he's like, Telesco's trying to like get it, like talk him down a little bit, like trying to like.
I would just sit down and be like, look, man, I have a little scotch in my hand, like, you know, with those huge ice, round ice cubes in it, you know,
custom ice glass, you know?
Yeah. I got a couple of those. I'm like, look, man, what's wrong with having a great quarterback, too? You still have a great defense.
Or are we hurting?
What's wrong with having a great quarterback, too? You know? Like, we don't get paid any extra for making these games more exciting. Mm-hmm. What about blowing these motherfuckers out, huh? Yeah. Like, come on. Seriously. Like, you appeal to his ego. Like, what's wrong with blowing these dudes out?
It's like, well, we got the recipe to beat Mahomes. We'll be fine. We'll win the AFC West with defense. Run game. They can't stop us. Well, be nice to be able to just like
put some points up
when, you know, score a touchdown in like 90 seconds, you know, 2 minute drill down by four quarterback. They can just, you know, put the game on his shoulders, just win it. You know, doesn't have to have everything fall into place perfectly. It's just like, all right,
that's like the freaking Ravens.
You know,
that's the Ravens like draft philosophy. Mm-hmm. Like, what's wrong with having like a really, really, really good defensive front? Yeah. Let's get another defensive end.
What's wrong with having all the ends?
Oh, God. Every year they draft another one and they're able to let another guy walk or they trade him for more picks or whatever. Yeah. And they just stay cheap on the front and they just dominate. They just beat you up. Oh, I love that. I love it.
That might be AP, man.
I love it. I do. I love that.
It goes end with 13.
If you have a quarterback, I love that mentality. Let's just keep stacking up the lines. Let's just keep stacking up these freaking grunts and just grinding people and beating them up. But we have this quarterback that can make it happen. Yeah. I got the shivers.
All right, that's it for us. We'll keep you guys abreast of any free agency moves and counting down the days until the draft.
Abreast? Tune in Tokyo?
Knock on wood if you're with me.